welcome back to the Read Indeed podcast. And what I will tell you is day 705, part two. Part one was in Reading train station. And at the time I'm actually recording this, that feels less like 3 months ago and more like 3 years ago. I'm sitting here not having just made that train out of Reading where I recorded part one. I genuinely was moments away from the doors shutting just soon enough to clip my arse and remind me that I have to get on a train with plenty of time and not with seconds to spare. But such was the amount of focus I had on just how weird and wonderful and lucky all of what Reading was set up to be. In other words, the fact that I was there for what I spoke about on the Day 705 episode as the iCure spin-out support program, taking university research towards commercial readiness for spin-out. That was the beginning of that process on Day 705 when I was on the road in Reading with my team who were there to help kickstart this customer discovery adventure with iCure's support. But that last episode was me more or less looking back, not over minutes or hours or months, but certain events years and years ago that I could never have realised back then were the first important dominoes to fall in a rather lovely cascade that's taken place since then. This all began, as I said, at the end of Day 705, with a side project, a risk, the happy accident that I happened to be getting into programming and had a little Raspberry Pi camera to play with just after my birthday that I happened to take into the lab. I happened to have two young, ultra ambitious and really determined summer students who wanted to come and work in the lab no matter what. I had just started as an academic. I didn't have two pennies to rub together, let alone any awareness of how to pay undergraduates. They didn't care. They just wanted the experience. And despite anything I said to the contrary, they came along and spent the summer with me in the lab. And at the end of that, we had a few lines of code that ticked. Oh, I'm usually the one that's cracking the whip on grammar, and here I am just pouring out words like taked. Oh, shame on me. Six of the best for me. Anyway, what was I saying? Yes, we'd written some code that took, rather than taked, some video footage and converted it into numbers that gave us the very first hint that this could be something useful to the chemist. This could be a way of looking at chemistry without touching it, but all the while extracting really data-rich and informative numbers that told the story of that chemistry over time. Fast forward to now, although this is Day 705, Part 2, in parentheses here, this is really the first of my two recordings that I want to put out for Day 776. I'm sitting here on the very last working day of the year, with this being the only time that I've had to record properly for this Part 2 since I recorded Part 1. Done a few mini episodes in between, but this one needed a little bit more time, a little bit more thinking, and rather fortuitously, it's come at a time where we're now out the other end of that iCure experience that was just starting on Day 705. We have gone through the 3-month intensive customer discovery process. We've spoken to people from all manner of sectors all over the world and condensed that into what was a final pitch in London earlier this month, where we had to firstly tell the story of the iCure journey, what we understood about how our technology could be turned into a product before iCure, and how the literally tens and hundreds of conversations we've had during the iCure program has helped us understand more deeply and more broadly what the potential of our technology could actually be, more so than merely the assumptions that we had going into iCure in the first place. Talking to people has clarified the potential of what we actually have. We don't have what we think we have. We've got a hell of a lot more. And to top and tail all of this, the thing that has really taken those earlier reflections from Day 705 and injected a whole load of steroids into them is the following. I use we very, very loosely in what I've just said. This was a program that wasn't really, for the first time in my career, one that was started and led by me. Yes, I started it, but this was a joy to behold because this was a commercial opportunity in which I was really simply part of a team. And shout out to my postdoc colleague, Tim McCabe, who actually led this program. And shout out to Darren Gardner and Fraser Kerr, who on the internal to the university and external to the university respectively, have really helped clarify a lot of the commercial questions that need to be asking and make commercial focused connections for us in order to expand our understanding of where the thing that we have might be useful and who it might be useful for. So that's a very long-winded way of saying this wasn't a one-person show, not a one-trick pony, not a sole genius effort. I ended this iCure program with the pure joy of sitting in the wings, literally in the wings of the room in which we were pitching this adventure and where our commercial journey was going to take us in the new year, not being the person on centre stage, not being the person having to give the pitch, but watching someone else lead that pitch, knowing that they had done so with a ton of effort, a real openness and drive to improve their own abilities and broaden their abilities beyond being a researcher. And an important penny dropped for me in all of this. I hope you don't mind a brief interjection in the middle of this episode of the Read and Deed podcast. I wanted to share with you that, as weird as this is to say, the podcast is now sponsored by my book, You Are Not a Fraud, A Scientist's Guide to the Imposter Phenomenon, and the accompanying Imposter Syndrome Masterclass. Since I published the book back in August 2022, and since I spawned the Imposter Syndrome Masterclass workshop from that, it has grown arms and legs and allowed me to get that message about managing the imposter syndrome out to the world in ways that I couldn't have imagined in the beginning. But now that that is taking on a life of its own, it's allowing me to feed resource back into the podcast to pay for the subscriptions that help me create the content, curate it, and host it online. And that's why the podcast is now sponsored by it. So if any of the story of the imposter syndrome resonates with you, I would be delighted if you would check out the book or check out the Imposter Syndrome Masterclass. That is You Are Not a Fraud, A Scientist's Guide to the Imposter Phenomenon. That's available in ebook, paperback, hardback, audio, and now in French and Spanish translations. And the Imposter Syndrome Masterclass is a half-day workshop to help you and your group harness the tools that will alleviate your self-doubt and maximise your self-confidence before your next career challenge. I'll put the links in the description. Maybe it's not for you, but maybe it's for someone that you know. So please do share those links. And without further ado, back to the episode. Thanks for your time. And
it's one that I'm glad to be able to talk about because I can't even remember if I said so, but I certainly wish I had hinted in the last episode, 705, or part one of this story, that it's so, 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 so easy to make my head even bigger than it is physically and metaphorically, to stroke my ego, put me at the centre of every part of this story, and just make it seem like, oh, look how great I am. Whereas what I'm actually trying to articulate, poorly or otherwise, is that a microscopic risk, a pure curiosity that had no plan behind it, has mushroomed into something far more special, far more satisfying than I could ever have hoped for. And the most satisfying bit out of all of that has been to be able to now be in a position to slowly but surely step back from the spotlight and work with others who can take that seedling of promise, that time and tinkering, and turn it into something that is not only going to outlast me and outlast our team as it currently stands, but be something that need not be named after my surname with the word group at the end of it, as is so common in academia, but turn what we have into a thing that stands on its own two legs and will serve people who we might never ever meet. And maybe that's a very specific version of that old adage, or adage, that might be my second grammar faux pas of the recording today. But, you know, this might be a very specific version of that feeling normally described as planting trees under whose shade you will never sit. That for me is, that's the sort of, you know, when you have the academic hat on, that's the impact that we can all drive ourselves to generate beyond writing peer-reviewed publications that get us a pat on the back from our peers. This is the stuff that goes beyond those peer-reviewed papers, the genuine impact for a much larger number of people outside the bubble of academia. And it's, yeah, to have a tree under whose shade I'll never sit is awesome. We're by no means there yet. This is entrepreneurship. After all, the risks aren't over. They're merely compounding into something that will crystallise what we call a spin-out company that starts to generate revenue, starts to distribute this product or series of products to those across the sectors we've now identified as containing people we might be able to serve and help. We're not there yet, but getting this far on this part two of the episode, yeah, I don't mind telling you I'm proud of where it's got to, both professionally and how it's allowing me personally to take those steps back and put others in the spotlight. That's awesome. That's so cool. So there's a lot more I could say on this, a ton more. This is always ad-libbed, as you can tell with how butchered this is when it rolls out of my mouth. But it feels like this is perhaps a natural close to this part two. I might say more about the technology another time, the other elements of luck involved here. But let me end with the usual promise of giving you a prompt or consideration. And by the way, as always, this might be a prompt that makes you think, what this guy has said in the past 12 minutes, what I have spent the past 12 minutes of my life listening to, is complete and utter garbage. If I've prompted you to think that alone, nice, that's fine. But let me give you the prompt or consideration nonetheless, because you might be riding the same wave as me, I don't know. And the consideration is this. How is it that you can take your work to a level that is creating trees under whose shade you will never sit? Who can you help put in the spotlight so that you can step back in quiet satisfaction in what you've created? Take care. Thanks as always for being here. And hopefully, sooner rather than later, I'll see you again soon for another episode of the Read Indeed podcast. All the best.